starting the year on this verse. It didn't plan it this way. Actually, this verse would work any week, so it's kind of like it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, as Paul comes to the end of a beautiful letter to his church. And let's read it together. It says this: "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Amen. Amen. Let's pray first, and then I'll ask you to sit. Father, we have come this morning to worship you, and that includes, of course, giving great thanks for what you have done, mainly in your Son, whom you've given us. But Lord, we also know that you want us to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is your will for us in Christ. And Father, we know that we have a tendency not to do that, but you still call us to do that. And you not only call us to, you empower us to do, and you've given us every reason to do so, Lord. So today, as we come under your word, we pray together that we may become more and more thankful, not just for the great salvation you have given us, but for all the circumstances that you have ordained for us, Lord, and you allow us to go through. Help us now, Lord, to come under your word. We pray for the children as they even stay with us today, and that they too will be able to have a sense of being under the word of God. And as we look to the Lord's Supper after or towards the end of our service, Lord, that will truly be a time of thanksgiving for your Son. But help us, Lord, now to just be attentive to your word, to expect your spirit to come upon us and to talk to us in a way that we need to be talked to this morning, Lord. For we give you all the praise and all the glory, and we do that with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In the context of our closing passage in 1 Thessalonians, this may be said to be the third essential element of authentic Christianity as far as it relates to our relationship with God. The first two we've looked at in the last 2 weeks, the first one was what? Rejoice always in the Lord. And last week, pray without ceasing. And this third strand of authentic Christian living as it relates to our relationship with God is to give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoicing always is an expression of a deep, abiding satisfaction in the Lord because of Christ. That says we believe that God is good. And he is over all things. Praying without ceasing is an expression, as a spiritual expression of our dependence upon him. That we need him, so we're always in constant communion with him. And when those two things are present, when we are a people that knows what it is to rejoice in the Lord, and to be a people who pray without ceasing, then this third element should not be too far away, should it? Giving thanks in all circumstances should complement and be added to rejoicing always and praying without ceasing. But remember that the emphasis in this passage we've been studying the last week is not on the rejoicing, it's not on the praying or on the giving thanks now. It's on the, what? Always. It's on the without ceasing, and now it's on the all. That little big word. All circumstances. For everyone can rejoice at times. And everybody can pray on occasion. And anyone can give thanks. But when you throw in those words, always, without ceasing, and all, that takes it to a whole new level. That's God's level. And that is the level that God has called us to live on. His level. And it's high. Which is why this command, which it is, it's not a suggestion, a command, it's a supernatural command from a supernatural God, because we are, after all, a supernatural people. Not because of anything we have done, but because we are redeemed. Paul is speaking to believers. So I ask us today, are we a truly thankful people? Well, let's look at the text. I have three questions I'm going to ask of the text, which will guide us along in the hope that by the time we are done with just this passage, we will have ample reason to be a people that walk out of this door, hopefully for each one of us to be giving thanks for a circumstance or circumstances that you are in right now that you are not giving thanks for. There's a good chance that everyone here is not giving thanks for something as they ought to be. So you can be thinking of that already. What's going on in my life right now that I'm just not giving thanks to God for? Because God wants you to give thanks to Him for it because of what He's going to do through it. The first question I ask is, well, what does give thanks mean? What does that, let alone in all circumstances, but what does give thanks mean? Paul doesn't say give thanks to God, but it's implied, isn't it? We can't just go around giving thanks to everybody. That'd be crazy. The implicit meaning here is it's a Godward thanksgiving. And I see it as this, when you give thanks to God, it is a glad-hearted recognition of having received something from His hand. That's my own thought of a glad-hearted, not just we sang that song, give thanks with a what? With a grateful heart. It's not something that we just give Him begrudgingly or with reservation. It's a no-holds-barred recognition having received something from His hand that we didn't deserve. Now, multitudes of people give thanks. We have Thanksgiving every year and the whole nation gives thanks. But the giving thanks that many, many people give, it lacks true faith in God, doesn't it? It's kind of an empty thankfulness. They will insist that I'm being thankful to God, but it lacks true faith in God. And therefore, it actually falls short of this command. There are levels of thanksgiving. And then the one we're looking at here is that which has faith, true saving faith in God. By nature, man does not possess a thankful heart, do we? Just by nature. Look at Romans chapter 1 and the beginning of Paul's great writing. He pretty much indicts the whole of mankind in verse 20-21. He says, speaking of God, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. We don't possess a thankful heart by nature. So in order for us to be a people that give thanks, some type of spiritual transformation has to take place. We have to be born again. We have to have our eyes and our minds and our heart transformed by the power of God, by the gospel, to truly give thanks in the way that Paul is calling upon us. You see, thanksgiving, ultimately, I think, it's an admission of dependence, isn't it? A natural man does not want to admit dependence upon anyone. We depend upon ourselves until God gets hold of our heart and life. So this command, back in 1 Thessalonians, it is a command for the company of the redeemed. And that is who Paul is talking about. We've already sung a song of thankfulness for the gift of His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given us Jesus Christ, His Son. We're going to close our service today with our signature tune, Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. So in about 40 minutes, we'll all gather in the middle, and that sense, and pastor's going to come and lead that song, and we'll say, thank you, Lord. We're going to give thanks to him. But Paul's command here is to believers in the who believe in the person and work of Christ, and we are indeed thankful for many things we have done. How can we not be thankful for our great salvation? But Paul isn't just talking about our great salvation. He's asking us for more than that. He requires us to give thanks in all circumstances or in everything. In the big things that shake us to the core, and in the little things that really just irritate us. And there are many of those, aren't there? To give thanks. We are to give thanks in all circumstances, not in hindsight after we've kind of recovered and realized, well, it wasn't so bad after all. It's in the circumstances. As they are unfolding, God is calling us to give thanks to him in that. So that's what the giving of thanks means. But the main question I have here is this. If we are doing this, if we are giving thanks in all circumstances, what does that actually demonstrate about us? Well, it demonstrates tangible evidence that we trust God, doesn't it? It's a demonstration, a tangible evidence that we actually trust God, that we have faith in him and who he is and in his promises and in his purposes and in his ways. So perhaps that is the deeper question I asked at the beginning. Are we truly thankful to God? The deeper question is, can I trust God? Can I trust God in all circumstances? And of course, as if we put our minds to considering God, our answer would be, well, yes, I can trust God in all circumstances. But then the real question is, do I trust God in all circumstances? And then we say, well, yes and no, right? Which means no. And then we have to conclude that not only can I or should I, but I must trust God in all circumstances. If we are to be a people, a person who is living an authentic Christian life. So I just very briefly, what it means to give tangible evidence that we trust God, which will result in giving thanks to God in all circumstances. It can demonstrate that we trust God in regard to, first of all, his character, just very briefly. I mean, a character study of God isn't my intent here. But if you are a person who is learning to give thanks to God in all circumstances, it is a demonstration that you are understanding his character better than you did. Psalm 145, 8 through 10 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord. And all your saints shall bless you." We give thanks because he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, good to all. But more, even more so, we give thanks to God because he is sovereign. He is over all and in all and controls all things for his glory, for his purpose. He is also wise. He is wisdom. And he is also love. So just those three. He is sovereign. He is full of wisdom. He is wisdom. And he is love. These by itself give us reason to trust him and to give thanks. If we give thanks to God in all circumstances, it is evidence also that we trust him regarding his purposes and his ways for his children. Romans 8, 28 through 29 is a verse that you will take home with you today. You've heard it before. But in this particular verse, it applies. Romans 8, 28 through 29. How many times have you been told this or have heard it or read it yourself? Or you know it's appropriate. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his Son. That is, we show that we trust God's character and nature and his ways by believing that in all things, God's sovereignty, his wisdom, his love, his grace, his mercy, all those things, all who is, it bears upon all the unexpected and sudden shifts and turns that come in our life to bring about something. It's the good fruit of being what? Conformed more to the image of his Son. That is why we ought to give thanks to God in all circumstances. Personally, because it is designed to conform us more and more to the image of his Son. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God. God doesn't react to all things. God doesn't take the bad things in your life, in my life, and then afterwards reacts and causes them to cause good. He's not a reactionary God. He pre-acts, if you like. He's ordained it. When Joseph was sold off into slavery and went through his years and years of being away from his family and in a different country, he came to understand that what man meant for good, the circumstances which would have been deemed bad, were in fact intended by God for good all along, wasn't it? And we know that he, Joseph, was being conformed more and more to the image of Christ, wasn't he? He was a better man after all those trials than when he had started. I'm sure he was quite a difficult little brother at times with his amazing Technicolor dream coat. But he grew up in faith in God. So giving thanks in all circumstances shows that we trust God regarding his character, regarding his purposes, regarding his ways, but also regarding his promises. We believe what he says in the Bible. Simple things regarding his presence in Matthew 28, towards the end of that very last verse in Matthew's gospel, he says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He promises his presence. Also in Hebrews 13:5, I'll just read it to you. "For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" That was Hebrews 13:5, and Matthew 28:20. God promised the same to his saints in the Old Testament. Joshua 1:5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." Giving thanks to God in all circumstances will involve a trust regarding his promises, one of which is that I will be with you in all circumstances. And for that reason alone, it is a reason to give thanks. So do you believe these things about God first? Do you believe that he is indeed sovereign? He is full of wisdom and love and grace and mercy. Do you believe his promises that he is with you through thick and thin? Do you believe that he has a purpose in every circumstance that he allows you to go through? If so, we can say, we're trusting God. And if so, we can and should give thanks in all circumstances. Now, it is very likely back in our text that, and probably in your mind, because it was in mine, when you think of in all circumstances, your mind automatically reverts to bad circumstances, right? Just the ones that would be difficult, the ones that would cause you not to give thanks because they're just hard. But before we look at that, which is the main thought, let us not overlook the tendency that we have to actually withhold thanksgiving when we know we ought to for the blessings that God gives us. We are prone to even do that, we are prone to be unthankful when we know we ought to be. In Luke 17, verse 11 and onwards, Jesus tells, Luke records the story of the 10 lepers who came to Christ. I'll read it to you. Luke 17:11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." How unthankful could they get? 9 of them cleansed of leprosy and they gave no thanks to the one who had healed them. Now we know that is just wrong, isn't it? We would have given thanks, right? If we were healed. Sometimes we don't. We are grateful in a sense, but our thanksgiving oftentimes isn't directly to God. I won't read this passage to you, but if you want to look later for a good example of giving thanks for what God has done, it's David's song of thanks in 1 Chronicles 16:7-36. It's a long passage, but it's worth a read to get a sense of David just recognizing the goodness of God to the people of Israel over a long period of time. It's a great expression of pure giving of thanks when the ark was returned to Jerusalem and they worshipped God because of it, because of his faithfulness to them. So there's an example of unthankfulness and an example of thankfulness. But getting back to our lives right now where we are, we've been asked to give thanks to God in all those unexpected, sudden turns in our lives, or perhaps just a sustained period of time that just wears and bears down upon us, that doesn't bring any spirit of thanksgiving from us at all. And I would venture to think that there are a lot of us here that are just refusing right now to give thanks. We can't see how that is possible. And we withhold thanksgiving to God. And yet that is exactly what God wants from us, to express tangible evidence that we actually trust him. So suppose one person gets hired while another person gets fired. Who is to give thanks to God? Both. Suppose one person gets healed while one person contracts a serious disease. Who is to give thanks to God? Both. Right? One is well rewarded for a job well done, and another person is overlooked for exactly the same job that was well done and gets overlooked. Who is to give thanks to God? Both. That's hard, isn't it? It's easy to give thanks for the good things, for those things that you don't get a sense that immediately as they're happening that they're good, because they don't feel right. They don't appear to be right. They appear to be plain wrong. There may be injustice, sin, oppression, just unfairness, sin. Now we don't give thanks for necessarily the circumstance itself, but in the circumstance, believing that in that circumstance, God is right there with me, working something out that we don't even know. It's faith that he is working what? In all things, God is working together for the good of those who love him. And ultimately, that will be conforming us to the image of his Son. We have to be thankful about our thanksgiving. You may be on the negative side of those illustrations I just gave. We can put your own one in there. We have to be honest. We can't just grit our teeth and give a thanks to God, knowing full well that we're not thankful. So we have to be honest about that. Sometimes you have to say, God, I'm not thankful. Just not. He knows anyway. But tell him, I am not thankful for this. Change my heart. We sang the song on New Year's Eve, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. And it was an acceptance that you are what? You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. That would include, Lord, help me to give thanks in this circumstance that I don't want to give thanks in. Alexander White, a Scottish preacher, always began his prayers with an expression of gratitude. So one cold, miserable day in Scotland, his people wondered how he was going to start his prayer off, and he said, We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this. It's a good way to start a prayer, isn't it? We thank thee, O Lord, that it is not always like this. So Charlie, you can say that in the morning in Pacifica. We thank you, O Lord, that it is not always like this. In all things, we are to give thanks. You guys heard of Corrie ten Boom. I found this little illustration here. I have lots of sheets of paper here. In her book, The Hiding Place, Corrie ten Boom tells about an incident that taught her the principle of giving thanks in all things. It was during World War II. Corrie and her sister, Betsy, had been harboring Jewish people in their home. So they were arrested and imprisoned at Ravensbrück camp. The barracks were extremely crowded and infested from fleas. And one morning they read their tattered Bible from 1 Thessalonians. And the reminder came to them to rejoice and give thanks in all things. And Betsy said, Corrie, we've got to give thanks for this barracks and even for the fleas. And Corrie replied, no way am I going to thank God for fleas. But Betsy was persuasive, and they did thank God even for the fleas. During the months that followed, they found that their barracks were left relatively free, and they could do Bible study, talk openly, and even pray in the barracks. It was their only place of refuge, and you know the rest of the story. Several months later, they learned that the reason the guards never entered their barracks was, why? Because of those blasted fleas. That's what it says. Isn't that amazing? They wouldn't go into the barracks because of the fleas. And they were given freedom to study the Word of God and have fellowship with one, uninterrupted fellowship. And they learned what it was to actually give thanks to God in all circumstances. They were persuaded to. Why? Because God is doing a bigger thing than we can see. Call to mind your own situation right now. Is there something going on in your life right now that you just cannot, will not give thanks to God about? Just refuse. And you may have a good reason to. You may think in your heart of hearts that there's no way I should give thanks to God for this because it's wrong. And it would be better if it was different. If it's different, then I'll give thanks. What are you going to do with this verse if you insist on holding on? What are you going to do with give thanks in all circumstances? Does it mean for the circumstance? It means for what God is doing. Would you rather have God change the circumstance so it goes better with you? Or would you rather have him change you? Your heart. Would you rather have him conformed more to the image of Christ? Change the circumstance and remain grumpy. Or change you and you don't mind about the circumstance. We give thanks in everything because we know that in all things God is at work for our good. It's clear. We know we ought to give thanks. We know we have reason to give thanks. But why? Why? Why should I give thanks? Well, Paul actually anticipates that and tells us in the last part of the verse, doesn't he? Why should you give thanks in all circumstances? For, he says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. He has nailed me. It's the will of God for you. In chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul has already alluded to another aspect of God's will for us. Verse 3, he says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, he specifically says that you abstain from sexual immorality. Now, isn't it obvious that it is God's will for us that we abstain from sexual immorality, isn't it? That's like a no-brainer. It's obvious. And we would all agree with that. That is God's will for our lives. Here, it's the same emphasis. It is as much God's will for us that we give thanks in all circumstances as it is that we abstain from sexual immorality. It's as strong. Why is it as much? Because it's God's best for us. We have to ask ourselves a question. Do I want God's will to be worked out in my life? Do I really want God's will to be worked out in my life? Or do I just want part of it? We want all of God's will for our life, don't we? Do I want to experience God's best for me? You can be selfish here, in part. For me, do I want my life to be best for me? Not everything being right, but just God's will for me. And then am I willing to obey by faith his command before I understand what is going on? Obey by faith before understanding what is going on. If you say, yes, I want God's will for my life. I want to experience God's best for me. I want to be used of him, by him, for his purposes more than I could even imagine. I want to be a vessel for him. And I am willing to obey him in all his commands, before even understanding what that's going to lead to. Then if we say yes to these questions, then we're really saying, I'm trusting God with my life. And we can give thanks in all circumstances. So you say, okay, I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to go home today. I'm going to start off this new year. And by God's grace, I'm going to give thanks for things that I've never given thanks for. You say, okay, I'm going to do that by his grace. What can I expect to see if I do this? Will my circumstances suddenly turn around for the better? Absolutely not. That is not the reason you give thanks to God. So that once you give thanks, good, now I'll change it so it's better for you. That's not the promise. He'll change you from the inside out. And as we do that, we will recognize it as a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, won't we? It has to be, doesn't it? It has to be a work of the Holy Spirit that would cause us to give thanks for that which no one else would possibly give thanks for, knowing that God's name is being glorified through your obedience. Because you're choosing to give thanks. When we choose to rejoice in the Lord always, when we choose to and direct our life to pray without ceasing, and when we give thanks in all circumstances, then we'll begin to discover what it is to be a true worshiper of God, won't we? And we'll learn what it is to walk humbly with our God through thick and thin. We'll also find that we are no longer a people who are prone to grumbling or complaining about things. We can't grumble and complain about things in our life while we're giving thanks to God, can we? It's kind of hard, right? You can't do both at the same time. Giving thanks just pushes aside grumbling or complaining. We complain about everything. We studied in Sunday school this morning, this whole thing of complaining against one another even. We complain against one another, showing that we're not giving thanks to God for one another if we complain against one another. Even out in the world, some of us are just real complainers. We'll find anything to complain about in the world. You go to a restaurant and the food just isn't quite right. So what do? You grumble and complain. Some of you just can't stop. You just can't help it. There's a point. And if you are going to complain, be a blessing. Don't have an attitude of condescending. Give thanks to God for the fact that the soup is a little bit colder than you would have liked it. Have them heat it up and be a blessing as you ask them to heat it up. Right? Don't complain. Give thanks. Give thanks that you have an opportunity to impart a spirit of Christ to someone. Don't complain. When people serve you, don't treat them as your servants. Treat them as people that you can bless with your loving nature, that you will be a sweet aroma to them. Even if they have offended, even if they were wrong, repay that with a thankful heart that says, God is in this circumstance, and He's going to work in my heart, my wretched heart, that He has redeemed, that I can be a blessing, even in a relatively difficult situation that isn't very pleasing to me right now. We get worked up about so many small things, don't we? If we give thanks in all circumstances, we all see that we are quick to forgive others and not hold on to things. We'll be quick to look over an offense. We'll be quicker to recognize sin in our own life and to quickly seek forgiveness and fellowship with the Lord God Himself. As we give thanks to God in all circumstances, we'll be seeking God's glory more than our own and realizing that there is no glory for us anyway. And we will be cultivating a spirit of peace that overthrows anxiety. Many of us right now, we're just anxious about things. It's the new year and you don't know what's going to happen. Huge decisions to be made. Huge decisions. And you're anxious about them. Can you give thanks to God in the circumstance you're in right now? Because giving thanks and with prayer and rejoicing will push out that spirit of anxiety and allow you to be filled with that spirit of God's peace that transcends all understanding. We will not fear what man can do to us if we cultivate giving thanks in all circumstances. In short, we will be an authentic Christian. And if we do that together, we will be an authentic church that impacts wherever we go. Firstly, Pacifica, our homes. As a church, we will be united in doctrine and purpose. It is God's will for us in Christ that all of us, individually and collectively, rejoice in the Lord always. That we pray without ceasing. That we give thanks in all circumstances. That is the will of God for us in Christ. So as we begin this year, may we begin to strive more and more to be that people. Reminding ourselves It's a simple verse to take with us through this year. Remind ourselves as we fellowship, as we minister one with another in this family, whether it be in your home or in the church. Remind one another. Rejoice. Pray. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you. And He will do a change in our heart that nothing else would do. Is this easy? No, but it's by faith. And it's a demonstration, what? That I trust God. That I trust the living God of the Bible in all these things. We're going to go to our time in the Lord's Supper. This is a time of thanksgiving, isn't it? What a great way to start the year. A time of thanksgiving for the gift of His Son, which is easy to thank God for. But along with the gift of His Son, let us take this with a spirit of thanksgiving for everything going on in our lives right now. Some of you might be saying, wow, that's way too much to ask. But that's what God wants. And it requires a deep reckoning of what God accomplished for us on the cross. That He set us free from our sin. And He promised His presence, His protection, His promises. Yes, these are words on a page. But it is the Word of God. It is His will for us. And it's for time and eternity. It is for believers. This passage of this word is for believers in Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you may be a person that says, well, I do give thanks to God, but just not in Christ Jesus. Then you can't give thanks to God. The only way we can give thanks to God is to first come to the cross. Be forgiven for our sin. To see Him crucified for our sin. Buried. 3 days. Risen. Ascended. Reigning in heaven. And coming again. Born into the family of God. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Father, it is easier to give thanks to You for the real big things, the spiritual blessings of salvation and love and all the things in life that cause us comfort and joy, immediately gratifying, satisfying our desires. They are easier to give thanks to You for. But Lord, it's those circumstances that trip us up, where we find our heart not yielding, not surrendering to Your hand in them. Forgive us, Lord, for not being people of faith as we ought to be. But I pray, Lord, as we go through this first week of the year, that You will cause us, that You will enable us and empower us to begin giving thanks for things that we have never really given thanks to before. And help us to do that with a grateful heart, not begrudgingly, but one that is pure and genuine. Help us now, Lord, as we look toward this beautiful Lord's Supper. Prepare our hearts and our minds to partake gladly with a clean conscience before You, Lord, knowing that we come because of Your work, Your sacrificial work on the cross for our sin. Be with us, Lord, this morning. Thank You for Your grace that we can even partake. In the name of Christ Jesus, we do pray with thanksgiving. Amen.